To be a house of prayer. To be a house of prayer. And the church of prayer. Teach us to pray, Lord Jesus, the disciples said. They observed their master and their teacher praying a lot. Teach us to pray. They obviously knew that prayer to his heavenly Father is where he got his power and he got his peace. The Lord's Prayer often is taken as an outline of prayer. And preachers, we've done our job of dissecting it, pulling it apart, and examining every little organ of it. But I think Jesus meant more than just a Lord's Prayer, which somebody added the title to. Because he often said, when you pray, he's assuming that we will pray. Is that a safe assumption? That's a safe assumption that we would pray. And he's just assuming we're going to pray, and he invites us to pray. Often Christians tend to blow off prayer as useless. Sometimes we do. Because we think that God knows what we need before we even need to ask. So why do we even ask? Right? You've heard that thinking. Maybe you've thought it yourself. He already knows what I need. Why am I asking? But we miss the point. At the heart of prayer is relationship. I could say to a number of you, or I could think before I say, oh man, I wish somebody would just take me out for coffee or breakfast. I love breakfast. You all know that. Oh, I just wish somebody would. How do I solve that problem?
I ask.
So this next week, I'm going to be asking Titus to go for breakfast. Because we haven't talked to each other all fall. Because he's been gone. So I could wish and hope and kind of mind read into Titus. Oh, he's got to ask me out for breakfast. I'll pay for him, but he's got to ask me out for breakfast. It's the same thing with God. He already knows. He's already read our minds. But he's asking us to ask. He's asking us to talk to him. He's asking us to express. God wants to talk with us about what we want, what we need, and those things that cause us concern and worry, especially fear and overwhelm. He invites us to come. I love this. It's not on your PowerPoint, but in Exodus chapter 34, which somebody has termed the John 3:16 of the Old Testament, Exodus 34, verse 6. Well, let's start at verse 5. The Lord came down in a cloud and stood there before Moses. Now Moses is about to go up to the mountain and get his second 10 commands because he broke the first ones because he got so mad at the people because of all their idolatry. So he's ready to go up again. So God called out his own name, Yahweh, and the Lord passed in front of Moses calling out. And this is what he described himself as. This is who God is. Yahweh the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations. I forgive iniquity, I forgive rebellion, and I forgive sin. This is who God is. God of compassion and mercy. That's who God is. So if that's the kind of God he is, then we can go to him because he will give us mercy. He will give us compassion. I love that. to Isaiah chapter 56. It's on the PowerPoint. Now, Jesus had often had said a couple of times, he had said, my house will be a house of prayer. My church will be a church of prayer. And he had just cast out all kinds of people out of the temple, and he declared very forcefully that my house, my temple, will be a house of prayer. It mattered to him. He's actually quoting some great verses back in Isaiah chapter 56. Verse 6. Isaiah is writing, I will also bless the foreigners who commit themselves to the Lord, who serve him and love his name, who worship him and do not desecrate the Sabbath day of rest, and who will hold fast to my covenant. The foreigners, that's the non-Jews. It's the Gentiles. It's those that weren't following God. But he's calling them, and I will bless them. That's you and me. That's all of us in 2025, almost 26. And he says, Isaiah says, and I will bring them, speaking for God, I will bring them to my holy mountain of Jerusalem and will fill them with what? Joy. Kevin talked about that a couple of weeks ago. One of the four candles that we lit. Joy. So when he's calling everyone to the temple, he's calling them with joy. He's calling them to come and have joy. So everybody smile. Is that joy? What? Sure. It is, a little bit. It's a foreshadowing of joy. But he's encouraging us to come. I will bring them to my holy mountain of Jerusalem and will fill them with joy in my house of prayer. I will accept their burnt offerings and sacrifices. I will accept everything that they want to give to me. I'll accept their gifts. I will accept them. I will accept their burnt offerings because my temple will be called a house of prayer for all the nations. My temple, the tabernacle, the temple, I've talked about this before. The church. And where is the temple now? Right inside of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Jesus lives right inside our hearts. So we're with him. Out of that gives us the opportunity to pray. And in a moment, I'm going to get you to spend some time praying together around your tables with joy. With joy. So now you have pens and papers. So somebody take a pen and paper. And this is what I want you to do for the next number of minutes. I want you to write down as a table things of worship, how we worship God, what we love about God, how great he is. Write down his different characteristics, his character, who he is. What are you thankful for? What do you appreciate about God? Write down all those things about who he is and what he's done. Just fill up that whole paper. Fill it up and don't write large print. Some of you are already getting there. Okay, just fill it up both sides, and there's lots of paper, but just spend some time just being thankful, being grateful, being worshipful. What do you love about God? Why do you love God? What are you thankful for? What do you appreciate? Okay? Fill up the piece of paper or more. We'll give you some time. Go for it. Right where you are at your table, some of you just shout out some of those words or phrases that you wrote down. Just shout them out. Out loud, I mean.
He listens.
Comfort. Keep going. Patience.
Forgive
and
just.
Keep going.
Forgive.
Righteous. Holy.
Forgiving.
Just.
Sensitive.
All right, that's good. Take some time around your table. Pray, worship, thankfulness, spend some time praying, and then Ryan will come up and lead us in the end of the song.
I got nothing.
people over coffee or breakfast or lunch or just hang out. And this stands all the way back to Carol and her best friend Deidre in Dominion City when I was their youth pastor. And I'd drive out to Dominion City and pick them up after school and we'd find a restaurant. I remember the restaurant, but no idea. I remember one time I actually got a speeding ticket on the way there. I was so upset. I was listening to something on the radio that really made me mad, and I was right through St. Joe. And so I had to, I think I confessed to them right away, I got a ticket, you know. And I love doing that. And I thought recently of a couple of other guys from our Altona Youth Group. One of them just passed away a few weeks ago. And thinking back to some of my coffee times with them. And different over the years where I've met with people. So a while ago, when I've shared about this, Joe and I had coffee at Tim Hortons. And we had a great time there, but there were three times that people walked by us. Oh, Joe, you must be in trouble. You're meeting with a pastor. And I didn't even know these guys, but they knew who I was. So I don't know, Joe. We never talked about anything bad. I just wanted to get together with Joe. I just wanted to get to know him. And then we moved over to Howard's table, and his brother and a few others were there that I got to know. And then they all said, oh man, the pastor's coming, we're in trouble here. And I'm going, really? Like, come on. So one of my friends from years ago, Ray Over, is here. We were pastors together in previous church. I'm a nice guy. You would know. Right? And the other family from Southland. Like, I'm a nice guy. I just want to get together with people. Now, if I had to talk to you about something really hard, I would tell you ahead of time so that you could be thinking about it and then we'd have a good conversation. See, God is the same way. We have this impression that every time we're going to get together with God, He's mad at us. Perfect, and He knows the issues in our lives, and He knows our sin, and He knows what's going on, and He knows that there's times we have to come to God and confess and repent. But He loves us, as I read in Isaiah and I read in Exodus, full of compassion. He wants to be with us. Most of the time in our relationship with God, He's not going to blindside us. He's already been talking to us. If I said to you right now, take a piece of paper, don't show it, I won't get you to do that. Write down one sin that's on your mind, it would come like that. Because you already know. I already know the things that God's working in my life. But He still says, share with me and let's have a good conversation. So we're going to be going into communion in a few minutes, and I want to give you a quiet time as Ryan plays quietly with his guitar, and I just want you to come to God. I just want us to just be quiet with Him for a few minutes. Talk to Him a little bit. Maybe there's a sin that we need to confess that He's been talking to us about. Maybe it's a need. Maybe it's a prayer. Maybe it's, I love you. Whatever it is, take some time and just be with God. And then I'll lead us into communion. And I'll give you some time. I'm not going to rush right now. So just be quiet and talk to God. He wants to talk with us. Mm-hmm. in love. And God, you are also holy and righteous, true. And yet, God, you love us. We thank you. And Father, as a church, we offer up all these prayers, all our thoughts, all our confessions, all our repentance, we offer to you. We thank you, God, for calling us to yourself, wanting a relationship with us, to talk back and forth and to listen. To listen to you and you listen to us. God, you're so good. Without the shedding of blood, it's the whole part of the Old Testament and in Hebrews, there is no remission or forgiveness of sins. And Jesus died for us. And I think it's a great way to end a year and look ahead into a year remembering Jesus. And so if you want to take a piece of bread, maybe a piece of it, you don't have to take the whole bit, but if you want to take a piece of it. Jesus, he came as a baby, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, descended into Hades, as the Apostles' Creed seems to indicate, rose from the dead, and then ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come back in the same way that he left. It'll be another triumphal entry. It'll be amazing. But in between the first Advent and the second Advent, we remember Jesus and reflect on what he did for us. So on the night before he was betrayed, he took the bread as he met with his disciples. And he held the bread up and he says, "This is my body, broken for you." My body will be broken, he's saying to his disciples, for you. Do this in remembrance of me as you together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your death on the cross. A death we couldn't die, as Ryan said. But we would have had to if you hadn't done it for us. So thank you, Jesus. Because the wages of sin is death. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Thank you. And then he took the cup. This is my blood given to you to establish a covenant, the relationship, the two parts of his body and his blood, both given, both shed, both broken, so that we can have a relationship, a covenant, a relationship with him. Again, he says, do this in remembrance of me. And then he said, in another part, he says, and I will not drink this cup until we are together in heaven. So he invites us to drink and remember. But it's someday we will drink this with him. With him. After the second advent. Let's drink together. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We worship. We honor. We love you, Jesus.